What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Postmortem edition of our weekly chat with Mike Florio. Pro Football Talk brought to you by JP Roofing. They do roofing and siding, Pittsburgh's hometown roofing experts. All right, Mike. We had a long discussion last week about what might happen or what could happen if the Steelers lost to the Ravens. They gave up almost 300 rushing yards. They got down 21-0 at the half. What big change do you anticipate happening now with this latest postseason defeat?
Well, at a minimum, we're going to see a new starting quarterback. I will be stunned, beyond stunned, if Russell Wilson is back in any capacity with the Steelers next year. Listening to Mike Tomlin yesterday in his end-of-season press conference, it looked like maybe the door's open for Justin Fields, but they're going to look and see what's out there. They're going to make their decisions. There wasn't anything unequivocal about either guy coming back, but especially not Russell Wilson, who said twice now publicly he wants to come back. I don't think he'll be back. If he's back, it means Mike Tomlin's got a pretty big blind spot for Russell Wilson. I don't think he does. I don't think he'll be back. And the quarterback carousel spins again, with ideally the goal of finding a guy who's going to be the long-term answer. But if they have to kick the can and find a veteran for another year while they wait for a longer-term answer, so be it.
Do you expect them to make coaching changes based on what you heard out of Mike Tomlin in his season ender?
Not necessarily, although you can always see some staff changes. I thought it was intriguing the way that the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jerry Dulac, worded the report on Tomlin's future. He didn't say Tomlin is coming back. He said they're not planning to make a coaching change, which to me could have been interpreted as an invitation to any other team out there to make us an offer, call us up, let's talk about a possible trade. We explained that the coach has to want to go along with that for it to work, and why would Mike Tomlin go along with it? If they don't want me here, fire me. I'll sit out for a year or take another job right now. Full pay if I sit out. I'll have my pick of jobs next year. Bottom line, there's no point trying to trade for me, and that's basically what we said yesterday. Save your time. So I doubt they're going to, at this point, it feels like it's already shifted into 2025 mode, not long after the 2024 season ended. And one of the things I said on PFT Live today, if I'm a fan, if I'm a customer, I still want someone to be upset about what happened. I want someone, and preferably Tomlin, to say, hey, that was not Steeler football on Saturday night. And I personally apologize to all the paying customers for the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers did not play Steeler football. And I make it my one mission in the short term to identify any player who was wearing a uniform that doesn't deserve the right to continue to wear that uniform. I would want to hear that, with one caveat. I don't know how many guys had the flu that they were not disclosing. When the report comes out that Patrick Queen's got the flu and he was never on the report, the injury report, as being ill, I don't know how widespread that was. They clearly hid his flu if he did have the flu and it wasn't just an excuse. But man, it wasn't what we're used to seeing from the Steelers, especially in single elimination settings. And if I'm a fan, I'm upset, and I want to get the feeling that Tomlin and others high up in the organization are upset too.
But I would need that to manifest in them doing things differently. Like, it's one thing to be angry, but then how do you channel it? And even if he did strike that chord yesterday, Mike, I would just think he was doing an acting job for his audience, and that real substantive moves or changes to adapt or evolve would not actually happen.
And that's okay. Sometimes you just got to say things. You got to say things. There are certain occasions.
I think we're well past the point of that, though.
Things to be said.
I think we're past that point.
What's that?
I think we're past the point of just saying things to try to sound good. Do you think most NFL teams would fire a coach who's gone 8 years without a playoff win? Are the Steelers unique?
Depends on which team it is. Look, there are plenty of teams out there that would love to be in the playoffs on a regular basis for the past 8 years without a playoff win. You know, just like with Mike McCarthy. Who wants Mike McCarthy? Well, any team that would like to win 12 straight regular season games for or 12 regular season games 3 years in a row. The thing that bothers me, and this isn't just an observation from yesterday, Tomlin didn't seem bothered by what happened on Saturday, either at halftime or afterward. And the players didn't seem bothered. They seemed surprised. Why are you surprised? You just kicked your asses on that same field a few weeks earlier. Why are you surprised that it's happening again? And when John Elway, who was the GM of the Broncos at the time, fired John Fox, the coach of the team 10 years ago, 1 year after they went to the Super Bowl, Elway said, I want to see us going out of the postseason kicking and screaming. And I didn't see a lot of kicking, and I didn't see a lot of screaming on Saturday night. And that's related to what I was saying about the press conference from Tuesday, but at a deeper level, where is the passion? Where is the fire? Where is the fight as it's all going down the drain? That would bother me too. And I'm a Tomlin guy, but yeah, sometimes you get to a point where it's like, you know, everybody benefits from a fresh start.
What do you make of his answer to the final question of that press conference? Mike DeFabo and The Athletic had the report, and then Tim Benz asked the question of him about George Pickens reportedly being an hour and 25, or only showing up an hour and 25 minutes before the Christmas game against Kansas City, and Tomlin essentially saying, don't know what to tell you about that one.
Well, it's funny because I don't know how many times he used this phrase yesterday, more than three. To be quite honest with you, is a crutch that pops up.
Oh, that's now, his new one. We turned that into a drinking game. If people do that, they're completely in the bag by 12:15.
Yeah, to Mike. Me, that's a tell, Mike, that he actually is not being quite honest with everybody. That tends to follow statements.
Right. I mean, the one thing you could say about anytime someone uses to be quite honest with you, well, everything you said before you said that wasn't the truth, or this is the point where I'm going to lie to you. And just let me tell you, generally, anybody out there that develops that same habit to say, you know, honestly or to be honest with you, say candidly or to be candid with you. Because when you say to be honest with you, it does imply that without that preface, you're not being honest. You mean candid. And it is his tell. It is his crutch. And it does feel like he wasn't telling us the truth. How would he not remember from less than a month ago that George Pickens supposedly blew into the locker room an hour and what?
After the inactives were announced is the key part. And after they had to announce their inactives.
Right. So this guy's missed multiple games with a hamstring injury. We got to put his name on the list or not. We don't have the benefit of seeing him on the field for pregame warmups. I would like to think that you remember that. And that's one of those where if you don't remember it, something's wrong. If you do remember it, something's wrong from the fact that it happened. And I love Pickens too, but it's time for them to move on from George Pickens. And maybe he's playing that game just so they have some trade leverage when they try to move him. But man, if I'm another team, I'm not touching the guy, because we've seen Tomlin keep guys like Chase Claypool under control until we found out elsewhere or late in the day that there was an issue. Pickens has been an issue for 2 years now. Mike Tomlin's magic doesn't work on him. If Tomlin can't keep him under control, nobody can.
Mike, how about what you said regarding their quarterbacks? You said Russ, you'd be absolutely shocked if he's back, and you pretty much said the jaw's ajar for Justin Fields. If not one of those two guys, then who? As Steelers quarterback in 2025?
You know, he made the point about draft picks, and they asked him about drafting high enough to get a franchise quarterback, and he said, well, Lamar Jackson was the 32nd pick, and Jalen Hurts was the second round. Like, I don't think you want to remind people you took Terrell Edmonds instead of Lamar Jackson when you could have had him back in 2018. And there was a lot of tiptoeing around Ben Roethlisberger, and this is what happens. Folks, keep this in mind. If you're fans of the team and you live long enough to see the next time there's a franchise quarterback in his final years with the Steelers, don't be so deferential to your franchise guy that you blow your chance for his replacement. The Ravens didn't think twice about nudging Joe Flacco aside when they got Lamar Jackson, and he was 3 years younger than Ben Roethlisberger. I think they spent way too much time bending over backwards for Ben. And I'm sure you guys have heard this too, that last year, that contract they offered him, they didn't want it to be so low to be an insult. They didn't want it to be so high that he'd take it. They picked a number and they picked wrong because he took it. They were ready to move on before his last year. You just got to be ready to turn the page. You can't just, it's never going to be easy. It's never going to be seamless. Hell, they didn't draft Dan Marino because they thought Terry Bradshaw still had more gas in the tank and they didn't have an awkward transition. And Bradshaw played one more game in his career. You can't worry about that. When the opportunity arises, you got to take it. And that's the balance this year. You're going to have somebody under contract to be the starter before the draft. If the opportunity arises during the draft to get a guy that could be the answer for the next 10, 15 years, you got to take him. If you believe. They believed with Kenny Pickett and they were wrong. Let's see what they believe this year.
Mike, I know I asked you about coaching changes, but there is one that might be out of their hands. How serious of a candidate do you think Arthur Smith is to actually get the New York Jets head coaching job?
Well, unless they have absolutely no one else. I mean, whoever's going to take that job is going to be somebody who has no choice. Now, I don't mean that as an insult to Arthur, but here's the reality. Guys who just got fired and had 1 year to turn it back around and get back into the conversation and didn't have a great year, and it may not be his fault, the players may not have been good enough, that's not enough to sell to a fan base. The Jets are going to end up hiring somebody, I think, who doesn't have an option elsewhere. The Jaguars are going to hire somebody who doesn't have an option elsewhere. I'd be surprised if he goes, because when you've already been fired once, you better pick that next one even more carefully than you did the last time, because this is it. This is your last chance to have an NFL head coaching career. Not many guys get three without having some success at one of those two stops.
So I know, Mike, but it kind of reminds me of Byron Leftwich, though, in Tampa. You're a hot head coaching prospect until you're not, and then you're fired as an offensive coordinator, and then you're really screwed. Like, yeah, the Steelers are loyal to assistant coaches, but I think there's a better chance Arthur Smith is on the hot seat as a coordinator before he gets another head coaching opportunity beyond this year.
I
think he's
going to
get better
that.
Next year. I don't think so.
It is weird how Leftwich just disappeared. He just disappeared. He resurfaced for a day last week, but how do you go from being on the short list for head coaching opportunities to being unemployable in the NFL? It's very bizarre.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live every day. Chris Sims on that show said it's pretty much everybody's fault but Mike Tomlin, is what I heard, at least in some of the quotes that were.
I don't think he said that.
Well, he said the roster is not really his fault at all, which I completely disagree with.
I don't agree with that because, look, and here's the thing. Who actually is picking the groceries? Remember the old Bill Parcells line?
Yes.
They want me to shop the meal. They should let me pick the groceries. I don't know who to blame for the groceries because they do a good job of never taking credit. So then you never know who to blame. And it's a testament to the organization how they work together. So just, you know, they all should go to hell.
Well, if mom and dad go to the grocery store together, blame both. If mom and dad go, blame mom and dad. Don't have to pick one. Well, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin. Well, Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan. That's how I see it.
What about, I still think Art Rooney's got a bigger spoon in the stew.
Malzi thinks Art Rooney's the real guy behind the Kenny Pickett pick that he
because
didn't want.
Of the Dan Marino situation, he didn't want to be seen as the guy whose family passed on a Pitt quarterback that might be good twice.
Well, they definitely didn't pass.
Yeah, especially once Kenny got here.
Mike will have Texans and Chiefs Saturday. Mike, enjoy that one. We'll talk again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. See you.
There you go, Mike Florio.